is back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. We really are back into reality. Well, this is Asma once more. I have the honor to be back home, and I'm so glad to be here once more with my dear guests, Sister Zainab and Brother Liaqat. Well, as always, first of all, I greet you for coming here. Thank you for sharing a part in Back to Reality. And please, just as you're greeting, introduce yourself very much briefly. So, assalamu alaikum, and the floor is yours. And we start with ladies first, Sister Zainab.
Alaikum assalam and assalamu alaikum. This is Zainab Askari, and I am actually from Kashmir, but I have been living in Iran for like last 11, 12 years now. And have been studying house for more than a decade. And yeah, at the same time, I am student of linguistics.
Yeah, and you, Brother Liaqat?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm from India, Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, of course, from India. And right now, I'm about to finish my master's in psychology.
Wish you luck.
Alhamdulillah, yeah. And I've done my house studies as well, and I'm still doing since about 11 years, alhamdulillah, yeah.
Yeah, so much, and thank you. I think that this is the best place to share both of your knowledge and wisdom to see how we can come back to reality. When wars happen, maybe the first question that might pop out in the head of everyone suffering from that war is that how much a human heart can tolerate, how much a normal human being, the heart of such a normal breathing being, can tolerate pain and suffering? And is war all about sufferings and pains? Does it have any good points? Could we ever consider any positive points to war, or is it only negative points? So the thing which perhaps makes this discussion a bit more interesting and tangible is the idea that you guys are not Iranian. And as I previously said, well, previously for those who didn't have any idea about what went on previously on Back to Reality, we were talking about the consequences of war, and then suddenly we got into this drastic change and the revolutionary spirit in people, which is coming out every night and shouting the revenge. But right now, we promise to be talking about the consequences. So you, as a non-Iranian, when you see the war that is happening right now and the people around you, like your neighbors, the people in the streets, what is your perspective of this war? Is it all negative? Does it only encircle all the negative points, or does it have any positive points to it? And let's be honest and realistic.
Yeah. To be honest, I have grown up in a conflict zone wherein it was always tear gases, it was attacks and all. But I have always seen people fleeing, and I have only seen negative consequences. There was nothing positive that I saw in those conflicts. But in Iran, I think war had way more positive consequences in addition to negative. I won't say it didn't had any negative. Like if you ask me personally, like we suffered through a lot of things.
Of course.
So like for
losing dear ones, I would tell you that only if it was only the leader, losing him is a great, great loss for us.
To the entire humanity, I would
say. Of course, yes.
So, yeah, like, I got a call from someone, like they said, you may have not mourned that much for the leader as much as he was mourned here.
Because we were on a mission.
Yeah.
Because we learned this from him, that right now, during the war, it's not the time to start mourning and then sit in a corner, forget about your missions. He himself actually taught us and told us that once such a huge incident happens, such a losing happens to you, such a loss happens to you and breaks your heart, do not sit so static and do not sit inactive. Right now is the most active phase of your life. You're on a mission and you're chosen by God.
Indeed, of course, because the teachings of Imam Khamenei Shahid, the martyred leader, are the continuation, like I would say, or the explanation of the teachings, what we get from Ashura.
Exactly.
From the teachings of Imam Hussein.
We have it clearly. Nowadays, we can see it clearly.
Yeah, we can feel it now.
Yeah, we can feel it.
So, like, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was killed, the next day, his family was taken to Kufa. Okay. And we can see the sermon of Sayyidah Zainab, salamu alayha.
Again, the consequences of war.
Exactly. Okay. So you see, the thing of pain is still there in their hearts. Just like Sister Zainab was pointing out towards, there is pain, there's fear of loss. Like,
of course.
Yeah, we have lost our leader. The pain is there. And because we are in a war-torn country, now there is a fear of loss for us as well, like our family members.
Yeah.
Now that I am going out, I'm stepping out of the house, my wife will have this constant fear. What if he goes to a place and there's a bomb attack over there? And that's it.
Because there were many people who just said goodbye to their family members and they never saw them coming back.
Thousands were killed in this war.
Yeah.
So you see, like, the negative consequences were there. The fear of loss in itself. And, you know, the children were suffering from emotional difficulties, like the fear of getting killed, you see?
Exactly. Because for children, that's different. Like, you cannot help them through ideology. By the way, I, of course, have to mention this point as well. Right now, even the children are brave.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. That is the positive side,
exactly.
We see. And I would say there's a psychological numbness which a person might get in a prolonged wartime.
Is that us right now?
Okay, not me, to be frank.
I think as Brother Liaght mentioned, for children, for example, I remember my younger son talking to his elder brother, what if I will be shaheed? Mm-hmm. Will I get shaheed if this gets struck? And he was also, composing him, but at the same time in the state of fear. Because now it was not the time, like, you will go out and you won't come back. Now it was the time hitting around your neighborhood and you hearing the sounds. And those sounds were so scary in itself. And then going to the sites and then seeing people and then seeing and then hearing the story. Like, there were little girls who were found without their heads.
Yeah.
Excruciating
images.
Exactly. So there was a lot of Karbala. There was a lot of these things there, and this war, the psychological warfare, like, okay, then there were fighter jets over your head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The constant sound of these fighter jets above head, and the children unable to sleep.
Not just the children, the elderly as well.
Exactly, like just Brother Sins mentioned about the children, so I'm saying the children being unable to sleep. They are scared, and you as elder yourself, if you're not brave enough, you won't be able to compose them, yourself.
Yeah.
So it had a lot of consequences.
We have to be realistic and say that people, like the nation, does not have to get into such... Let me just rephrase myself. The world cannot impose a war on people because these people were having a normal life.
Yeah.
And they were not a threat to anyone.
Yeah.
So why do they have to suffer? Why do they have to sleep with the anxiety that maybe I may not wake up?
Which is not their right.
Yeah, which is not, of course, the ones who are imposing this war. I'm telling you, these people, us, have never been a threat to any nation. Even the ones who have been enemies to us. For years, they've been our enemy. For years, they've been plotting against us. But there were no, even one missile threatening them, going to them, directly pointing at them from us, from our point.
They started the war.
Exactly.
Unless they have started it.
Yeah, they have started that.
Yeah.
So we say that there are some very huge positive points of war. Why? Because when there is this shared blood, when there is this shared sacrifice among the families, they get united.
Yeah.
And the enemies do not know. The war... when it is imposed on the Muslim people, it is going to have different consequences, different from that of the Western culture or civilization.
Yeah.
That's so because we have the ideology, just as Brother Liaght mentioned, At a certain point of history, when the story of Ashura happened, Sayyida Zainab had suffered a lot. Like, it was not easy for her to leave all those dear ones aside and then get on a mission. Yet she stood so firm.
Yeah.
So can you justify that situation with any realistic, scientific, psychological reasoning of today's world?
See, we had read Karbala in the stories, we had read it in history, and it was not tangible until we felt it. Until we, for example, you asked us also in the previous episodes, like, we were foreigners, we had safe passage out, why didn't we go? We really felt like if we chose to go, we really felt like we're exactly like the people of Kufa, right?
Exactly.
So we don't want to be like the people of Kufa, to be leaving the country in a situation when, like, I enjoyed resources here, I enjoyed security here, and now leaving the country in this wartime was not something in a good human nature.
Very true. So, brother, do you think that, coming back to this consequence of war, we said that there are some positive points and there's no one who could deny that, and it's very huge and it's concurring everywhere, but maybe there are some hints and clues about the consequences that we would see after the war, after the war ends. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the victory of the Muslim people, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But aside from the traumas and the fears and the anxieties of people, let's say, let's not just devote it to children, because everybody
General
is
masses.
Prone to that fear and anxiety.
Yeah, indeed.
And at the same time, they're brave.
Yeah.
But there are also some other consequences as well. Like, don't you think that a prolonged war could lead to disheartenedness, like losing your hope in life, losing your attachment to life?
Okay, so this question, I would put it in this manner. If we have learned lessons enough, okay, the lessons from Ashura, the lessons from the, I would say, 12-day war, and lessons from the present war, then I think we will become braver and braver from the previous day, okay? But if we have not taken lessons, then, yeah, a person might feel exhausted because of war and because of the fear of war as well.
Mm-hmm.
So personally speaking, I'm not fearful, alhamdulillah. I'm ever
neither ready. Is the entire nation. You can see them.
Yeah, we can see that.
I wanted to come to this conclusion that if Sister Zainab could help me in this. Once we used to discuss this, a statement of Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha, when she said that, "I saw nothing but beauty."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is also a consequence of war.
Yeah.
Like, how could you see war as a beautiful thing? How could you see only beauty, nothing but only beauty?
Now that's done.
Now we can see it. Because the more I penetrate into your mind in order to get something negative out of it, I see everything is leading to somewhere beautiful.
Yeah.
Definitely. Even the thing that I asked you about people losing their hope in life.
Even there is beauty inside
exactly, it. Exactly, yeah. Even beauty, there is inside it.
So indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that, inna ma'al usri yusra.
Exactly.
So whenever there is a hard time, along with that is comfort. For example, one of the worst consequences for me myself was that, which still we are suffering through that, is that my husband is on another distance, he's in another country, and just because of this prolonged war, we don't see a way out of him coming back or me going there. So, but what is more comforting than that is that in this, you know, this is not a war of borders or flags anymore. Mm-hmm. This is something deeper. This
humanity is engaged.
On
humanity
one
is
side,
concerned.
There's this humanity with broken heart, but yet the heart is beating.
Yeah.
On the other side, we have a cold mask of inhumanity, which is wrapped in power, though. But the line is clear. The line is clear, and you choose to be on one side. And every night we sleep with this hope that even if we die anytime now, but the comforting thing is that we are on the path of Haq.
Exactly.
Right? So that is, and we have chosen to be on the right side of the history. Tomorrow
Very
we won't
true.
Be having any regrets.
And that's the main thing, you see, like you have said, the path of Haq, the path of truth. That's the beautiful thing of Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. I have not seen anything except beauty, is that she was on the right path. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's the most beautiful thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with Imam Hussein al-Islam, with Sayyidah Zainab salamu alayha. So the very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with the noble elites in those days, of course, like Sayyidah Zainab salamu alayha, that is the most beautiful thing ever happening at that moment. Yeah. There are difficulties, but still, because you are on the right side of the history, I mean, you are on the path of truth, that is beautiful. I think even in today's world, right now, even there is threat, and even if tomorrow war starts again, and there are again loss of people, loss of security,
many
injured people. Let's not forget that as well.
To be honest, there's no guarantee of life.
Of course, there is no.
So, like
right now, at the moment, we are speaking over here.
That's why the Iranian nation, when you talk of ceasefire, they fear it more.
The war can start right now, and they can hit the place we are sitting.
Yeah, because the enemy is not a humanitarian sort of an enemy.
Yeah, because
they don't care.
As also the American journalist Anna Kasparian puts it, ceasefire to them is like you cease, but we continue fighting.
Exactly. And
we saw them doing
a
that
big chance.
If they stopped it inside the country, but we saw them doing the same in the Persian Gulf.
Exactly.
The fire did not stop. Yeah. But yes, when history will write this chapter with fire and tears, that time I should it will be remembered, where was I standing
exactly
in this history?
Just like the martyr Imam said, I all the time, just as we were talking, I remember his words when he used to encourage everyone and invite them to be on the right track of history, because he said, right now we're standing at the turning point. Try to pick side and better it be on the right side of history, because history has got eyes and it would write everything down. And there's also another point. Yes, there are many injured people, there are many injured soldiers, there are many losses out there. Children were killed, buildings were destroyed, the materialistic losses and also the metaphysical losses and the psychological issues, all of these side effects are there. We're not the kind of people who would turn a blind eye to all the things that we see, but it's still the most important and significant thing that we see is this spirit of fraternity among people, how they care for each other, how brave they are, how they're not afraid of any oppressor, how, just as the word of the martyred leader who said that we are powerful, but at the same time we're oppressed. So we're not the type of oppressed people who would stay silent, and not the type of...
Or weak.
Yeah, or we're not weak. The world may consider themselves having the best equipment, having, the military
weaponry.
Yeah, and weapons, but they're wrong. We are, the weapon that we have is the trust that we have in God, and there's no end to that weapon. This was all for today. I still think that we have a lot to share on this regard, but time to go. So this was all. Until another episode of Back to Reality, stay safe and take care of yourself. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the Ummah rise again let us see daylight again once again